Blog Talk Radio.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in hot. Yeah, coming in hot, just like the fajita. I write what I live, my life in the speaker. I'm nice with the flow, just like the demeanor. I'm feeding my fam, I'm feeding the meter. They got the iron while I got the steamer. I bring the fire, but you never seen her. I testify, I don't need a subpoena. They want my soul, better go to Korea. I love my dog just like I'm Peter. Gotta protect him. I made the call, it was just like I'm reffing. I know we left, yeah, now we back together. But I guess that is better now, later than never. Like, what's happening? I'ma need y'all, quit asking when. Me and my wife gon' have some kids. Right now, we just practicing. Practicing. Teacher said, quit rapping, man. That gon' hurt my average. I said, thank God I ain't average. Yeah. I'm a bright young man, kill the GPA, and the BPM, look we on, so say what you say, cause that's A with Lecrae, from the A train to the A, I'm coming in, I don't do the most.
Hey, hey, hey.
What's up, y'all? What's up,
E?
What's up? What's going on? What's going on, Plank Blankers? Welcome to another one of our show. It's the 14th of July. Y'all believe it's the middle of the year already. 2021 is halfway there. We're halfway through 2021 and all this craziness. But what's going on, family? How you doing, Kia? How you doing, E?
Man,
I'm doing good.
Chilling.
Y'all sound like y'all tired.
Man.
Y'all sound like y'all tired. Y'all was like, you're doing good. He's like, yo, I'm chilling.
Yeah.
I know what it is. He's practicing that voice. That voice. That's what he's doing. He's like, I'm working.
I ain't practicing radio, nothing. I get ready to work. That's what
So, yo, E, you telling me that outside of being an instructor and doing, you know, being a, I can now say that we are radio host personalities, you still got a regular 9-to-5. You telling me you're not rich off of being an instructor? Like, that's what people think. You're not rich? You're not rich?
Not
bowling out of control off the instructor, bread.
Hey, but you know what, though? The fight is real. You feel me? Like, I'm fighting for that freedom. You know what I'm saying? Of 610 Tactical be the only source. But even when I get to that point, I realize, though, through my research and just through conversation with people like that are in positions or, you know, that I'm looking to get into as far as, you know, business ownership, that once you get there, it's still a fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, even greater, because now, you know, they're at the mountaintop. A lot of my friends that are business owners, they're at that mountaintop, but it's keeping the business going. That's, you know, for them, that's harder than the starting of the business, you know? So, and I'm still just at the starting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, you're not lying. You're not lying, folks. He's spitting the truth, y'all. This is when us as instructors decide that, you know, it's going to be more than just a hobby or, you know, something that we can pursue as a business, going from the side hustle to, you know, hopefully if everything goes how we plan and our hard work really pays off as it is going to, you know, and it becomes our primary source, it becomes our business. It's not easy, y'all. It's not easy. A lot of people on the outside, they just see, oh, you shoot guns. No, it's a whole lot more than you just shoot guns and go get certifications.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a process, and it's a long, expensive process.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
So, but Well, it's definitely, if nobody's told you to, y'all know I'm going to do it. I appreciate the work y'all put in becoming an instructor.
I appreciate the work you guys put in as well. I really do.
Thank you.
Not for a weekend, but for the week.
Gangster for that. Gangster. So what y'all got going on? What y'all got going on?
Yo, normally everybody else start. We're going to start with Dwayne tonight, though. Dwayne, what you doing?
Yeah.
I seen that Smokeless Reigns video. And, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, yeah. We gotta talk about that.
Man, you kind of threw me off. I'm not used to. So you want me to talk about me? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. He's not used to that.
Y'all should have told me. I would have got dressed up. I would have put on a suit. Let me see if I get throw on a jacket or something real quick. I would have got a script. So y'all want me to stay? For our listeners out there, we're trying a whole bunch of different things over here as at Tactical, man, because we want to show all of our students, the whole Zach Tactical family that we're more than just an instructor that gets you your concealed. You know, all right, you come out, you get your concealed, now what? What's the next step? You learn, you got a piece of paper. Good job. You shot a couple rounds. Ooh, what's next? So, over here at Zach Tactical, we know that ammo is very, compared to yesterday, right, or yesteryear or whatever, ammo's expensive, it's scarce. People, we're hoarding. Now, I'm part of them, guilty. I'm hoarding my ammo, as everybody else should. Definitely hoard your ammo. You know, getting out to the range is nothing like how it used to. You know, so at Zach Tactical, we offer a smokeless range experience. You know, smokeless range experience where you come out and everything is done inside under the nice, in a nice cooling air conditioned room that's not at 79 degrees. That's a stab directly at my wife.
Wait a minute, time out. Dwayne, don't make your wife call back up here.
I know.
You know she, don't make her call back up here.
It's a really awesome experience. You know, folks, you get to come out, you get to try out different scenarios. You know, we put you through the paces, and if you just want to have some fun, you can shoot at targets. You're literally at a range inside. The firearms that we shoot a couple different type training pistols. The training pistol that I lean on a lot, it is the Taurus GTC. For the reason why we spoke to you about it last week, E, is the fact that the trigger auto reset, and I can slap a laser right down the barrel and I don't have to worry about wrecking the slide every single time. And if you really want to get a really nice, little bit more realistic feeling with that recoil, we offer airsoft pistols. We have two airsoft pistols that don't offer any kind of reciprocating slides, and we have a Glock replica that has a full heavy slide that back and forth, so it actually feels like a 22 when you shoot it. You're not getting that loud bang, but you're getting that recoil, so you're forced to readjust your sights, because it's a really good experience. If y'all folks, you know, listeners out there, you want some more information, definitely go to ZachTactical.com, hit the Smokeless Range tab, and, you know, reach out to us. We're doing parties now. If you and a friend or a couple of friends wants to come out and do a Smokeless Range experience as a party, as a group, hit us up. We also do group rates. So something fun. We do have the training scenarios where we put you through the situational awareness to kind of see how you react if someone comes and knocks your door. You know, we have those kind of scenarios. If you're taking out your trash and you encounter a threat, you know, and when you go through those scenarios, we want to see how you react in real life. So if you're going to walk away from a scenario in real life, that's how we expect you to react. It's not because you now have a gun, you have unlimited lives, you're going to shoot everybody. You know, we want you to react exactly how you react in real life. And then we recap it, right? We don't recap with the purpose of saying what you did was wrong. No, that's your decision. But we do help you see the light a little bit. You know, we'll break it down, we'll analyze it, find out why you chose to do what you did. And if it still makes sense to you going forward, hey, at least now you have a breakdown of why you did what you did. And if it don't make sense, that's where we can now double back and say, all right, here's how maybe trying something else might help. So they're really, really awesome. But another class that we're putting together that we're probably going to launch in August is one that I'm really, really looking forward to, and I can't wait till you and Pia come on out and try it out. It's a class that we haven't came up with a name for it yet, but it's, let's say you know, we all talk trash, right, amongst ourselves, who's the better shooter. Now, you and a couple of friends can actually solve that. Come on out to the Zach Tactical Range, and you and your buddies. We're only shooting 22, except for the shotgun when we go to the shotgun, and we create like a little 3-gun course. And you know, we have 4 different courses that you're gonna go throughout the day. You're gonna hit throughout the day, and you know, you and your buddies come out and you settle who's the better shooter throughout those courses. We'll time you. We'll put you up against yourselves, and we'll give you certificates at the end. And then the winner gets bragging rights with a trophy. And the cool thing about it is, I don't really like to say gun rental because some places are very funky with the rental term, but gun rentals are included because you're not bringing your own gun. You're getting to shoot our guns. You're getting to shoot an AR. You're getting to shoot handgun, and you're also going to shoot a shotgun. So gun rentals are included, and ammo is also included as well. So you literally just have to show up, along with refreshments. So you literally just have to show up. It's a minimum of at least two to three people per class, up to at least 8 people per class. So stay tuned for more of that. I don't know. Follow us on Zach Tactical on YouTube, ZachTactical.com, Zach_Tactical on Instagram, and Zach Tactical page on Facebook, and it's ZAC Tactical, not ZAK, but ZAC Tactical. Man, that was a lot. That took a lot for me to ramble on. Hey, that's what I'm doing. Y'all even interrupt. I was waiting this whole time for y'all to interrupt me so I could stop talking. But I appreciate you.
That's good because, you know, one of the things that, because I was looking into the smokeless range, and one of the things that when I think about simulation, you know what I'm saying? It's something that everybody has to think about. It offers the opportunity to actually get put into a situation, right? But every situation through simulation may not be, you know what I'm saying? Because if you're not doing, you know, force-on-force type training through simulation, like you had mentioned that it might not be the right, but you know, we don't do the, you know, you don't do the, oh, this was wrong. We kind of give you, you kind of give them an understanding like, hey, this was your choice. And why did you choose that? If you feel okay with that choice, then let's move forward. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's really good. Yeah. I think that's really good. You know what I mean? Because like I said, simulations, it's difficult. It's extremely difficult to give someone 100% because we could be dogmatic and say, hey, listen, this is the only way, period. Speaking on that note, I'm not going to call out any names of this guy that I felt was kind of dogmatic. But, you know what I'm saying, a trainer that I was talking to just recently, he was convinced that a certain way of reloading your firearm, doing dry fires, you know what I'm saying, was the only way that you should do it. And I was like, you know, that to me doesn't make any sense because, you know, dry fire situation isn't a live fire situation. It's not a combat situation. It's not a self-defense situation.
Defensive.
So So how could that be the only way to do it? You feel what I'm saying? So that was kind of like where I was with him, and he was like, well, what do you, you know, what's your argument? And I'm like, well, I feel like, you know, A, B, C, D, right? And he was like, oh, well, such and such has proven, and such and such has proven this, and has proven that, and this is right, and da, 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 da. And then a couple of other instructors jumped in on his bandwagon and was like, yeah, you know, this has been proven by the military to be ineffective and blah, 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 blah. And I'm listening to these. Well, I'm reading these comments because we were all in a kind of a group chat. And I'm reading these comments and I'm saying to myself, you've got to be kidding me, right? Like a dry fire situation, and please everyone hear me,
a dry fire situation only prepares you for fundamental functions.
It helps you. Yeah, right. That's all it does. It helps you build up your mechanics. And real quick, E, for all the listeners out there that don't know what dry fire is, it's pretty much when you're utilizing your firearms and you're pretty much practicing with your firearm with no live ammo. So you're working, like you're saying, you're working on your fundamental, you're working on your grip, you're working on your trigger pull, you're working on your reloading abilities, you're working on drawing from your holster, and you're working from your reholstering. So that's what dry fire is. When you hear us use that term, it's exactly what we mean. Go ahead, E, my bad.
Yeah, and no, you're good. That, you know what I'm saying? That's right on point, 100%. But, you know, being that dry fire, it helps you work on the fundamental mechanics, the function, right? I can, this is all functional movement, true, but dry fire, if not practiced, every scenario, every situation, every possible, you know what I'm saying, you know what I mean, you know, you're practicing everything that could possibly happen, how could you ever say one technique is ineffective and the other is effective? You get what I'm saying? Like, what? That's like someone telling me that if I dry fire and practice my reloads with using only one arm, that's the best way to do it. Well, in a real life situation, what if I don't have time to do any of that? You get what I'm saying? I cannot predict what the next situation is going to bring. So someone, this is the best. This has been proven to be the best and most effective way. So that it's like saying that one technique has gone through every scenario possible and has been the best. You know what I'm saying? That's really kind of crazy to me. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, to kind of shorten the story, after listening to everything they all had to say, I said to them this one simple thing. I said, it amazes me that you all have tried every technique from every instructor that has ever lived. You know what I'm saying? I said, but maybe I'm arrogant, and I know that arrogance makes people blind, so I apologize for assuming that there was more for me to learn. You know what I'm saying? I said, so y'all keep doing what you're doing, and you keep training. But that blew my mind away that they were all stuck in this one area of how you're supposed to train. And I was like, oh, my gosh, how I train for a three-gun competition is not going to be the same way as I train to take a tactical advantage on an objective. It's not going to be the same way.
And you know what, you know, tying into what you say, right? What you're saying, it's so true. Listeners, listen. Learning the fundamentals of your firearm is completely different than – all right. So, for number one, learning the fundamentals of your firearm can be very intimidating if you go on YouTube, right? Because you go on YouTube, social media platforms, and you see all these people drawing their firearm, presenting it, trigger pull, quick reload. And they're doing all this crazy hand motions and everything. That is cool. That is cool looking. But it has nothing to do. The one thing that's missing from all of that, even when you come out to the range and you're shooting at the range and you can say, you know what, I'm running through the woods with Dwayne, or I'm running through a course with Kia or E, and I did a par whatever crazy score. He's able to clear a room. That's fun, right? Or you're able to come to Zach Tactical and crush an awesome score, have a great time doing the Smokeless Range experience. There's one key element that's missing in all of that, and that is the stressor when it comes down to you defending yourself. That stressor is not there. So no matter how much you try to replicate that, even force on force, and when I say force on force, folks, that's also another term for when you're doing almost like live like hand-to-hand training, right? So even with force and force, there's still something in the back of your brain that knows if I'm doing force and force with Kia, Dwayne, or E, or any other instructor out there, I know they're not going to kill me. because we're training.
Yep.
So there's something that turns on or off in your brain. But guess what? That stressor, that real life stressor of you hearing your window break or your door kicked in the middle of the night, that is not there because you cannot replicate that. You may train, train, and then you're presented with a situation, and guess what? You may freeze up because you're like, oh, my gosh. When I was training, you know, Elliot, Kia, and Dwayne, they're adults, but the person that just kicked in my doors, he seems like he's 15. So you don't know what to do. You're now code black,
right?
Or condition black.
Right.
I always, when I talk to my students, I always let them know, hey, number one, draw fire and do not replace shooting a real gun. I tell that to a lot of my students. It's an added bonus for you to do it because it keeps you working on the fundamentals. It keeps you working on it. Trigger placement. Mostly for me, I always say always practice how to draw from your holster because that is the one thing that you need to try to be consistent in a self-defense situation. It ain't trigger pull. It ain't pointing your gun. It's being situationally aware and knowing how to draw from your holster. You don't have to speed and reholster. Why are you rushing to reholster? That's how accidents happen.
Yeah.
Analyze, make sure the threat is down, then slowly reholster. But I always tie everything back to we can all go from our car to the front door in our house, and I can say, yo, E, Kia, how fast would it take you to get from your car to your door? Oh, you said 20 seconds? Bet. Let's bet $100, right? And you're going to crush it because guess what? You know how to unlock your door. You know how to run in the house. You know how to maneuver all that stuff, except when you have to use the bathroom. When you have to use the bathroom, unlocking your door becomes the hardest thing, and it's something that you can't explain because your brain is saying, I need to get in the house, and your body is like, well, I need to use the bathroom right now, you know, and it's like your brain and your body, and it's something you can't really place because you're like, yo, why don't I know how to unlock my door? We have a keypad to get in our door, and I'll be there. I'll be pressing the wrong buttons to put in my code. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't. I don't know what's going on. I have to ring the doorbell, like. You know, it becomes so hard to do that, and that is a stressor. And the worst thing that can happen in that situation is you pee on yourself, right? That's TMI, but you pee on yourself. No one dies. No one get injured. If no one's around, you can be like, oh, all right, I guess I'm just going to do this right here. And you go in the house, you clean up, and you're good, right? So even that stressor is nothing like you being placed in the situation to defend yourself. All in all, folks, Don't just listen to one instructor. Everybody's going to train a little bit different. No instructor should be saying, my way is the way I'm training you is the only and right way. There's no such thing. It's just like basketball. Every jump shot's a little bit different. Now, there's a way that you can – there's the movie way that everything looks perfect. You're perfectly squared, perfectly – feet are placed perfectly below your shoulders – butt poked out just at the perfect 2 degree or whatever. But the reality is none of that means nothing when you have a threat in front of you. So I know we kind of went completely left on that one, but Kia, you know, I want to pull you in too. How do you feel about drop firing? Is it something that you do a lot? You don't really do it a lot because you get to the range a lot. Or what do you do when you drop fire? What do you focus on?
Just drawing. Basically just drawing and stuff like that. But I'm at the range a lot. I shoot live fire a lot.
She's like, I don't do no damn dry firing. I live at the range. Nah, listen, y'all. Y'all don't know. If y'all don't follow Kia on any of her social medias, y'all are missing out. This lady puts in so much work. I feel like I see a new post every single day. Like, hey, at the range today, check out this awesome family that I work with. And, you know, definitely hats off to you because you definitely live in the ring. You know, you definitely put in that work.
Well, thank
you. Definitely put in that work. So what do we got? I know we kind of get long with it. What are we speaking on today, y'all? What do we got for our listeners today?
Well, I was hoping I would have time. We're gonna do it definitely next week. There's a little game that we got that we can load and. So actually, our listeners can interact with us through this little game, gun safety quiz, trivia, things like that. So I'm going to definitely have that ready for us next week because I didn't have time to set everything up this week. So But I will, I think we're going to incorporate some of that because I know there's a lot, like I said, there's a lot of things going on. And we try not to perpetuate the media.
Yeah.
And right. They're and what they're trying to do to the masses. So we try not to do that. But, we, definitely safety, more safety and safety again. Because, it's so many different things that, that go on that could be, that I see that can definitely be eliminated or it can be avoided if people just follow the four basic safety rules. And, some of these things that you see on, you see that the videos and things that are posted that people do, it's like, who trained you? Or did you get training or, or whatever? Cause, so it's like some of these accidents and things like that that the media loves to play with and how to, and some of our political figures like to use as stepping stones for, gun control and things of that nature. A lot of these things can be simply avoided by people just taking the time to learn their firearm, learn the safety rules, and then follow them every time. And that's the one thing I tell my students. I said, no matter how good you get, no matter how, how good of a shooter you get and how long you've been shooting, every day you pick up that firearm, you should act as though it's your first time when it comes to safety.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I drill into my students when I'm talking to them. So when you pick it up, act as though it's your first time. So
I
love that. I was talking to a student today. He signed up for my class. So shout out to you. You know who you are if you're listening. And it was one thing he told me. He was like, hey, I was asking students, how proficient are you? Like, how experienced are you? And he said, he was experienced, but he can definitely learn more about handguns. And definitely coming from the sense of self-defense, more concealment, not just self-defense, because that's a whole other thing, folks. To open carry is one thing, right? To open carry at the range is another. But then to conceal, that's a whole nother beast that you have to get comfortable doing. And we was talking about the risk of when you draw from your holster. And I told him, the thing that gets a lot of experienced shooters in trouble is complacency. They get very complacent in feeling they don't have to be afraid of that gun. And I don't like saying to be afraid of the gun because the gun's not a threat, but you should respect it. And that's what we pretty much went down the avenue of, like, saying, just like you said, you got to respect the firearm. Every time you go to pick up that gun, you got to show it respect. You have to understand that you cannot be complacent and say, well, nah, I don't have to worry about checking the magazine, or I don't have to be worried about checking to make sure it's clear or none of that stuff because I know it is because I'm so good. No, now you're becoming complacent, and guess what? You're just an accident away, Don't let, 6 pounds? What was the average trigger? Pounds on the trigger?
Six pounds, five or six.
Don't let 5 pounds of pressure change your life forever. That is because you decided to get complacent. So I love what you just said, Kia. Folks, my experienced shooters out there, especially my experienced shooters out there, don't get complacent. Be the example.
I have a funny story to share.
No, go ahead. Share away. Share your story.
So just to tell you, I guess it's just to drive the point home that just because you're an experienced shooter doesn't mean you can't make mistakes or you can't, that you're always perfect or whatever. So Sunday, we celebrated Inner Peace's first birthday, right? So I'm going to give a hand clap for that. So, So we go to happy birthday, Inner Peace. We're celebrating Inner Peace's birthday, and we're all at the range, and we're shooting this new target that Miss Joy has created. And I go and pull my gun out of my the one I'm going to use at the range, and pull my gun out to get my to get ready to shoot the target, and I don't have a magazine. I left all my magazines at home. I left all my magazines. When I say all, y'all, all my magazines are at home.
Wow.
But at home. And so I said, you know what? And those are the kind of things I'm going to share with my students in my class to let them know, hey, I'm just because, I'm an instructor doesn't make me perfect, for one. For two, if I am you know, if I'm making mistakes, you can make mistakes. You don't train probably as much as I do. So it's like, hey,
right.
don't ever get to the point where you feel like you can't make mistakes. And then, too, when you do learn from them, I will never forget my magazines ever again, but learn from the mistakes and then get better and do better. So that I'm going to definitely share that with my class on Saturday and let them know that, hey, you know, I am – I mean, I do this every single day. There's no reason I should have left my magazines, but I did. So that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
They picked on me so bad at the rain. So, you know.
Now, see, folks, and Kia is, you know, she's one of the top shooters coming out of North Carolina, one of the best shooters I saw in the magazine earlier this week.
Okay,
so if any of y'all want any problem with Kia in North Carolina, Zach Patrick will put a stamp on that. Bring it. Talking all the trash.
Right.
And I got Elliot. Bring it. Call us in, 845-241-9979. We want all the smoke on the range safely with eyes and ears on.
Yeah.
And make sure you bring your magazine. Okay? Don't leave your magazine at home. Bring your magazine. I got a question. I'm looking for 10 words, right? 10 words. I'm a new shooter. We have a lot of new shooters that's listening. You know, last time I checked, I think we're number 3 in the country when it comes down to streaming radio shows, something like that. Don't worry about where I find that information from. But what's 10 words that someone new in the firearm world would hear that we can give them a definition of? So I'll go first. Magazine, right? A lot of times we hear it as, oh, the clip. E, I'm going to throw this at you because you're the military, dude. You're the vet, man. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Is the right term a clip or magazine? And is there a difference?
Yeah, there is a difference. So clips were, longer and thinner magazines. Featured like magazines for different weapons, like I can't think of any names right now because I'm over here trying to get ready for work too. But that was a very old term for like Uzis, Tech Nines. You know what I'm saying? The P90 style. You feel me? They were called clips because they held you know the smaller calibers. You could have like a fun stick now where you can use AR platforms but still shoot Glock magazines. They use them as those to kind of quickly, I guess a quick, you know what I'm saying, nomenclature for those kind of magazines. So we know that the proper term is magazine, but yes, so if you hear a clip, then you're probably going to see it's probably going to be referring to one of the thinner style magazines that hold 9mm, but it's not a Glock. You feel what I'm saying? Is what they'll be kind of referring to. But that's old terminology. That's not something that it's not right or wrong, in all honesty. But we definitely, you know, as instructors, we want to first give you the foundation, and then where you take it from there is kind of, you know, on your own, as long as you're still focusing on and maintaining fundamental safety. You know what I'm saying? So, but,
gotcha.
You know, those are one of the things I get into people, a conversation with that all the time, that I'd be like, listen, whether you call it a magazine, a clip ain't going to change the situation. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you got to get into a gunfight today, it ain't going to matter if it's a magazine or a clip. You know what I'm saying? So,
gotcha.
That's one of those I tell people all the time. Like, we're not going to argue about something like that. Like, come on. You know what I mean? So
I'm arguing about it.
Yeah, I argue too. It's not no clip.
Look.
Okay, it's a magazine. No, but I get what you're saying. Hey, you know, Kia, what about you? What's a word that you would throw out there that you would like our listeners to know? Like, you're welcome to the Second Amendment. Welcome to the firearm industry. This is a word you're going to hear all the time in the meeting. What's one of those words for you? I'm put her on the spot.
I guess it's like the thing that I hear the most is magazine and clip, right? So, I guess I would say casing.
Okay.
You know,
that's a good one. Bullet, right?
And then, and also, you know, bullets and cartridges. You know,
yeah.
if you an instructor, most instructors I know will call them cartridges.
Yeah.
And then, you know, casings and bullets, and you know, explain that. So. That's
okay.
One.
Yeah,
what
good.
About what about E? What about a work? I just volunteered Clip and Magazine to you earlier. What's another one that you could throw out there for our listeners?
And this kind of goes with all of us. So we say weapon. But, you know, anytime we hear weapon, I could be talking about a bat. You know what I'm saying? So, like, people say, oh, yeah, you know, I want my concealed weapon carry. And I'm like, okay, so what all are you going to be carrying?
Look, Elliot, I tell my student, it's a firearm until you have to use it.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a weapon.
Yeah.
Other than that, when we refer to it in this class, it's a firearm. If you're talking about defending yourself or using it, then it becomes a weapon, only then. And then when it's done, it goes back to being a firearm.
Yep.
Right.
Yep, Carl. Weapon is anything. You are pretty much a weapon. And I heard you say this all the time too, E. You're the weapon. It's a tool.
Yeah,
this
that's
is a tool.
Just a tool.
Right.
You know?
That's just a tool. Yep.
So one of mine is reciprocity. You know, I bring that up a lot.
Yeah.
And people's always like, well, what's reciprocity? And
yeah.
I could understand the students in the class not knowing what reciprocity is because, of course, they're there to learn. But when I'm talking to someone that already have their conceal, and this goes back to why we do what we do, you know, and why the online method didn't work here in Virginia. I know I'm North Carolina, you know, Kia, you guys down there have been doing the conceal process a whole lot different than Virginia. Virginia, up until last year, actually up until I think the first of this year, if I'm not mistaken, you could just run online 15 minutes. You got your conceal, you're good to go. Go to a gun store.
Oh, no, sir. No, not in North Carolina. North Carolina, you've always had to. In North Carolina, you always have to sit in the class. We even asked during COVID. Absolutely not. In North Carolina, you cannot do a conceal and carry online, period.
And I respect
it.
That.
Wow.
Because I've spoken to some people that I know that have their concealed that got it via the online method. And I'll say, well, do you know about the states that we share reciprocity with? And they'll be like, well, what's reciprocity? Reciprocity, folks, it's an agreement. It's an agreement between one state and the next, right? And when it comes down to firearms, it's pretty much the agreement on, let's say, Virginia and North Carolina. Well, I'm going to use Virginia and South Carolina, right? So Virginia and South Carolina, we share reciprocity, but you got to dig back a little bit because there is restrictions there. We don't share 100% reciprocity. It's reciprocity with restriction. And one of those restrictions is, number one, North South Carolina, they don't, if I'm not mistaken, hollow points are illegal in South Carolina, right? They're not.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Here we are. You know, here we are. We can roll in Virginia, and next thing you know, we say, you know, I'm going to go see my people in South Carolina. Or we share reciprocity, or we don't even know about that. I just have my conceal. And next thing you know, I'm getting pulled over. Hey, do you have your conceal? Yes, I do. What kind of hollow points? You're going to jail, right? You know, so that's one word, folks. I challenge all of my listeners out there, look up reciprocity. Look up what states we share reciprocity or you share, because, you know, we're a global show, y'all. So what states you would share reciprocity with when it comes down to your conceal? And it's definitely a word that you want to know because, trust me, with all these gun laws and everything shifting, states becoming blue states becoming red states becoming blue, and all the other colors in between, reciprocity is changing. Reciprocity is definitely changing.
Yeah.
So that was one of the big words that I know is a huge takeaway. Y'all want to throw one more
word
out there?
Well, I know North Carolina. North Carolina is part of our conceal and carry. You have to talk to your students about reciprocity. So, in North Carolina, when we do conceal and carry, we have a section to go over.
Yeah, and I love that. Yeah. I hear a lot of people complain about it going from online to here in Virginia now. It has to be some sort of classroom setting. Has to be in-person setting. And they complain. That's against the Second Amendment rights. No, it's not. Why do we want to encourage people to go out there and get firearms? We're not saying you can't get a gun. We're just saying that you should probably know how to use it. You know, I do respect that. So what do y'all think now when it comes down to – is there any other words that y'all wanted to kind of throw out there?
I'm just kind of top of mind,
or those are some of the key words?
Double tap.
Those are probably the top ones.
Double tap. What's a double tap, ma'am? What is a – see, there she goes. She's an assassin. What's a double tap?
Yeah. Firing two shots. Firing two shots. Back to back.
Okay.
I'm about to hit her with it, though. Like, double tap.
Yeah, go ahead.
Double tap implies that both shots hit the same area, right?
So, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Technically, if you don't hit the same area, it ain't really a double tap. You know what I'm saying? You just rapid fire.
I got you.
Yeah, and that's what. So, you know what I'm
saying?
That
damn sharpshooter, boy.
Yeah.
Whatever, Elliot.
Damn sharpshooters, huh?
You know what I mean?
I got a question for y'all. I'm glad you brought it up, kid. That's like perfect, right? So, do y'all teach your students to shoot for the head? If you do, why?
Absolutely not.
Why not? Okay. What about you, E?
I'm not going to say that I tell them to shoot for the head, but if this is a life and death situation, you know what I'm saying? I tell them, if you can get your sights on target and you're trying to stop a threat, handle business. You know what I'm saying? That's just me.
Okay. I got you. Why not, Kia?
Cinema. Because that's your largest target. Heads can move. We talked about this before, right? Heads can move. Arms can move. Legs can move. It's very difficult for you to move your center mass at a fast enough that my bullet can't catch it.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, I try to tell my students, you know, hey, you know, try to aim for the biggest target that you have. And you can stop someone hitting them center mass. You don't have to hit someone in the head. And you think about it, your head is a smaller target. And now we're talking about, again, we always teach, you know, your target and what's beyond. All it would take is for someone to turn their head and you miss.
Yeah. Yeah. I think me, I'm kind of in between both of y'all. I always teach center mass. And the only time I teach a student for the head is because I'm teaching them to dial it in. But I remind them, I said, look, when you're doing dry fire, it's cool that you can go to the range and hit a static target in the head a bunch of times. But reality, when you're reactive, you got to train center mass, press out center mass, press out center mass, press out center mass. So I'm in between both of y'all.
I don't, like I said, that ain't something that I teach. I tell them if you can get, like, for example, if I got a bunch of prior military guys, maybe special force guys, you know what I'm saying? You know, recon scout snipers or green, you know what I'm saying? Then I know that these guys are very capable. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
But if I got
that's totally different.
You feel me? If I got somebody that's never fired a weapon before, yeah, of course, you know, the concept is like they taught me the first time I shot. We aim center mass. You feel what I'm saying? As you get better. But then also, too, you know, and this is kind of a, you know, think about the scenario, at 7 to 5, you know, at 7 feet, 10 feet, is it harder to hit, you know what I'm saying, to hit the
if you do aim for the head, could you still hit the head at 7 feet? You know what I mean? Center mass gives you a greater target at any distance, right? But
Elliot, I have students that can't hit. I have students that can't hit center mass at 7 feet. So
yeah,
we're going to keep on working on that center mass.
I've seen it. That's what I tell you. I have seen that because they don't understand sight picture, sight alignment. They don't get it. So
right.
They have no
right.
idea. You know, they think that they're aiming at the target and they're really aiming, you know what I'm saying, far left, you know. But so, you know what I'm saying. So, yeah, the fundamental part is, yo, let's get it on. Let's hit. The, you know, like we do with Dawn, you know what I'm saying? Let's get in this, inside this plate area, you know what I mean? If we can get
yeah.
inside this plate area, then we know that we're causing a whole lot of damage. Now, what we teach as far as threat, stopping a threat, a headshot will stop a threat a whole lot faster than, you know, and y'all know this because it's been true. You see it in videos. People taking 5, 6, 7, 10, 15 shots center mass and still coming. You see what I'm saying? I don't
yeah.
know too many people take a headshot and keep coming. You feel me? That's just my thing. So,
Elliot, let's go back to what Dwayne said about applying that pressure. Okay, we're applying pressure. The person is 7 feet in front of you. Okay, and you're going to be able to get your sight alignment. Now, this is just for an average shooter. Get their sight alignment lined up to shoot someone in the head accurately?
Yeah, at 7 feet, a non-shooter probably ain't going to hit nothing when it comes – and let's just be honest, especially if they're not spending as much time at the range as you, myself, or Dwayne. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't tell, you know, just, you know, Joe Schmo, you know what I mean? Hey, yeah, you need to go ahead and try to hit him in the head. I actually think for people that have had with no military or firearm experience, I just think that this, you know, hey, let's stop trying to be television. Let's stop trying to be Rambo.
Yeah,
you understand
go.
What I'm saying?
Right.
You know, for someone that has a little bit more experience, and I'm like, say for example, if I'm training a group of former military guys for, you know what I'm saying, contract, you're doing, you know, HVT extraction, right, high-value target extraction. That's different. You see what I'm saying? How I train
yeah.
them is going to be, yo, you know what I'm saying, we're eliminating the threat quickly. You feel me? Versus me, you know, such and such's mom just comes out and she wants to be able to defend herself at home. Nah, you know, at 7 feet, because in reality, when those stressors hit at 7 feet, her eyes may still be closed. She may be, you know,
mm-hmm.
fanning the gun around, just, you know, bang, bang, bang. I mean, I've seen it happen, you know what I'm saying? And people that have concealed, they've gone through the classes, but because they do no training, and that is probably 70% of the people we will encounter as instructors. They don't want to keep training. They want the concealed carry, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? They got their guns locked up still in the. You know what I mean? So, yeah, for them, hey, listen, yo, we need to just get focused on center mass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I'm like. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, like I wouldn't tell somebody's grandma. Yeah, aim for the head. Nah, hold on.
Those would be the dangerous ones, though. Their grandmas be dangerous.
Yeah,
as hell. Man, they be the dangerous ones.
Right.
Nah, but I think what you both are saying is absolutely right, Kia. You hit her in the head. I believe, like, self defense situation for the average Joe, straight center mass is important. Now, if you are, you know, like you're saying, that tactical part on that tactical side, and you're very, very well trained. That means not only are you well trained in being able to shoot, but your response time, you've trained that as well. But that also ties back in your capability to hit a small target. Like Kia was saying, the movie, Kia
yeah.
and both of y'all pretty much saying it, the head is very small. And we may think, oh, man, I'm a two to the chest, one to the head. That is
yeah.
movies, y'all.
Yeah.
That is movies. You may think that's what you're doing. Or you may think, man, I'm in here and I'm shooting at this target headshot. headshot, but that target's not moving. And is that a true to life headshot size? And you're also shooting it at a, is that an actual, there's no stressor. So that paper target or that cardboard target is not a threat. It's not coming at you. And you're not having, your hand can stay comfortably pressed forward. So folks, me personally, I always lead with center mass, aim small, miss small. All right. I had a listener that calls in. She's called in twice, not Dwayne's mom. And she had a special request. And she said, hey, she consistently reminds me that, there's a lot of new shooters listening. And the one thing that she was confused about, not Dwayne's mom, was the different types of bullets that people shoot. And she wanted to know, what's the difference between full metal, hollow point, and, what are they used for? So I'm going to toss that question over to y'all. Which one of y'all want to take that question? Tell us the difference first.
So, full metal, it's kind of like, and I know it sounds crazy, but it's kind of exactly what it sounds like. Like, it's completely metal. Depending on the manufacturer, it will determine how the round actually responds once it hits the target. It's going to fold over itself. It's going to probably spread a little bit, but it is definitely going to be more of a blunt style impact, you know what I'm saying? Depending on the caliber, because a full metal 9mm is going to penetrate a lot better than a full metal 40 caliber, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
sure.
a 40 caliber full metal is going to knock you down a whole lot better than a 9mm. And I'm not saying that a 9mm won't knock you down. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that a 40 caliber is the stopping power, right? Win the fight. That's going to be a whole lot greater than a 9mm. So, but that's, that's just my experience. And then, of course, hollow points are, exactly what they, what it sounds like is, the point of the projectile is hollow, and most times they're kind of frayed or been cut out so that once you fire them, it'll expand and separate. So, and they're designed, in all honesty, to cause a whole lot more damage, but a lot less penetration. So, what Kia mentioned earlier about, knowing what's behind your target, the chances of hitting someone behind the threat with a hollow point is a lot slimmer than someone with a 40 caliber or a 9mm full metal jacket. So those are really the differences. Like, a full metal is like, blunt force. Know what I'm saying? It's going to hit the target, and, it's going to make a whole lot of a mess if once it exits, And hollow point is going to hit the target, but it's going to make a whole lot of a mess inside. So.
Gotcha. I think that's very well said.
I agree.
Ikea,
everything he said. Yeah.
I got a question for you, ma'am. Does brand matter when it comes down to your self-defense rounds, your hollow points? Does brand matter?
I think brand does matter in some instances, because you have to know your gun. Some guns, they'll shoot anything, right? And most guns will shoot anything, but some guns are temperamental, and I know I probably sound like a gun fanatic, but it's like some guns are just temperamental, my gun, don't laugh. So, but it's like you just have to know your gun. But, and like I said, it's not really so much, what, are y'all laughing at me?
No,
we
don't.
Nope. I think when I said it, I was like, God. When I said it, I was like, God, you sound like a gun fanatic. My gun is so temperamental. Say what?
Yeah. But it's true, though. And I don't think people that, if they don't fire or train like you train, they wouldn't even notice the difference.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? So what you're saying, yeah, it doesn't sound crazy to us. You know, it might sound crazy to some other people, but that it's the truth. What she's saying is true,
yeah.
People. Your certain firearms are very temperamental. I'm going to give you an example, Kia, to make you, I hope this makes you feel better. My custom-built 6.5 Creedmoor will not shoot accurately any other round other than Winchester deer season 6.5 Creedmoors. I can get dime-sized groups with the Winchester deer season 6.5 Creedmoors. If I put anything else, I don't care if it's high performance, anything, I'm all over the target. All over the target.
Yeah, and just like outside of hollow points, it's like even like my gun, like, you know, some people shoot the steel, like the, you know, the steel.
Yeah.
My gun will not.
Yeah.
My gun will jam every single solitary time. My gun will only take brass. And it's like, but you know your gun, the more you use it, you know, like it just will not shoot that steel casing. It won't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, my Glock does that. And I know that sounds crazy, but my Glock will not shoot steel casing. My 40 caliber won't do it.
Yeah.
Won't do
really?
It. Yeah.
Really?
It
but my 40 caliber shoots, it shoots steel. It shoots anything. I can put a ball of dirt in there and put some propeller behind it, and it's going to shoot it. You know a gun, however, folks, shoots any type of round. That Taurus.
It ain't a Taurus. I know that.
I mean, yes, it is. The G3C and the G3C, it does. It shoots anything you put in there. You can ball up a bunch of pennies and put a primer behind it with some gunpowder.
We need the people to really believe us to be truthful and respectable.
Oh, man. How do we mute Elliot? How do we mute him? He always got to say something bad. But no, that's a great thing that you pointed out, Key. I'm going to go ahead and cut Elliot off because I don't need him talking negative about my tour.
Ain't no way a tour to everything. Ain't no way. Ain't no way.
But I love the fact that you said that guns are temperamental, and yeah, I love the fact that you echoed on that as well, because I think that it also ties back to just going to the gun store, getting your gun, and saying, hey, this is my defense firearm. This is the gun I'm going to use if anybody kicks in my door. I bought ammo. I bought the ammo that the gun clerk or person recommended me to buy. And I loaded my magazine, and it's in my gun, ready to go. And it's like, did you shoot it? No, I didn't. You've never shot it? No, nobody's broken into my house, so why would I shoot it? So you haven't been to the range. You haven't practiced. You haven't put multiple rounds through that firearm to make sure that it's ready to protect your life. So I love the fact that you brought that up, Kia, that your gun could be temperamental. I'm going to start using that as well. I normally say bougie. I had a student that he brought a brand new gun. He brought an FN to the class, and I'm like, you bougie. You know your gun's not going to shoot what I got. Like, I got some cheap ammo for y'all to shoot. Like, your gun's not shooting this. And like you said, Kia, it jammed every single time because I had some cheap old ammo. And we have to get some different grade of ammo for his gun to shoot. So, folks, get out there, shoot with your gun, and so that way you can know exactly what ammo your gun shoots, because especially if it's yourself.
Hey, but check this out.
Range gun? Go ahead, E.
Nah, I was going to let you finish, and then I was going to say something that a lot of people don't think about, but this is critical. Most of the time, the reason why your firearm is temperamental, And no one thinks about this, but I know y'all gonna be like, oh man, it's because you're using a factory barrel, and most companies don't spend the time to to make the factory barrels, because they're manufacturing so many of them, to a high performance specification. Is it a thing?
Mm.
So
yeah,
custom barrels will give you a greater performance with any ammunition than just a regular factory barrel. So that's something that just, you know, I want everybody to kind of chew on.
See, and when y'all buy your barrel and you're ready to do all that stuff, reach out to Elliot at 610 Tactical, and he will hook you up. He rated the best gunsmith on BBBBB, top tier. That's who you go to. All right? That's who you go to. And then when you get that gun, head on over to Kia, especially if you're from North Carolina. She's rated top tier in the BBBBBBB. As well.
Yeah.
That's where you get your training. And then you come up to us, that tactical, and we hit you in the smokeless frame. Folks, it's a circle. Never stop training.
Look, Elliot, we're going to get a call. Look, Elliot, we're going to get a call from a company called BBBBBBB. And they're going to be like, I heard you guys were saying something about it.
No, we got to speak into existence, folks.
The Better Bad Business Bureau Baby. That's what it is. BBBBB.
Yep. BBBBBB. That's what it is. But, you know, I love this because, you know, I think that our students, or just our listeners that are new to firearms, or even the ones that don't have firearms yet and are considering it, or just want to know more about this world, I think it's important that they kind of know the difference between a full metal jacket and a hollow point, the penetration, just the penetrating rate of both of them. So like you said, hollow points, when those hit you, they're designed to open up, or let me not say hit you, when they hit their intended target, they're designed to open up and stay inside of said target, right? And the full metal jacket, they're designed, the tip of those are pointed, either pointed, rounded, or sometimes flat. But they're designed to punch through. So they're going to more than likely go through whatever the target is, and it's not going to stop until it either starts to slow down and lose momentum, or it hits something where it's automatically harder than the actual bullet match with the force, that momentum coming from behind, and then it's going to fragment and it kind of break apart from there.
Absolutely.
So in a self-defense situation, for those of you listening that are just, you know, that are new to the that just purchased your firearms or just new to this industry, if you're in a state where you can have hollow points for self-defense, please do yourself a favor and get some hollow points. But don't just get them, put them in your magazine, and that's it. Go to the range and shoot a couple. That way you can know what it feels like, because the recoil is going to be a little bit different depending on the grip, right?
Just a couple.
Man, say that again. Just a couple.
Just a couple.
Just a couple. Just a couple. Yeah, they're expensive. Yeah. Don't shoot the whole 2, 3, 4 boxes because you're balling out of control. Now, if you're balling out of control, buy some. Reach out to one of us, and we will help you trade them over to full metal, all right?
Yeah.
But, no, shoot it so you can feel that recoil because, again, you need to know what that feels like in case that God forbid moment ever happens so you have to defend yourself or your family or friends. But remember what I said. Only if you're in a state where they're legally, where you can legally own them, all right? And you're doing yourself a favor because you don't want to be in a situation where you defend yourself and that bullet hits the bad guy, you're a hero. But guess what? You have full metal jacket. So it went through that bad guy and hit a person, an innocent bystander. Now you're going to be held accountable for that round. So you are more than likely going to be brought up on charges because there's two different situations, all right? So, again, I love what you both have said. I love what I said as well. Now, I'm too long horn. I love what I said as well. When it comes down to just the difference in those bullets. So calibers, you know, I don't want to go too deep. I know you said 40 caliber is, you know, it's definitely bigger round, more stopping power than a 9. I don't want to really go down into the caliber. But here's another question that I get a lot in my classes: can I shoot any caliber in my gun? which means can I just go to the gun store and say I want bullets, and they just give me any box, and I can put it in my Glock and fire away.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, you can. Your firearm ain't gonna last very long.
He's like, hell no. He like, yeah, you can. If you're a grown person, I can't tell you can't buy that. You can't fit that in there. It's gonna explode on you.
Look, Elliot's thinking. Go ahead and blow that barrel up and come see me.
That's exactly what I'm about to tell you. Hey, yeah. Hey, but let me tell you something though. Yeah, if your firearm explodes, yo, that's you just wasted a whole lot of money. Because
yeah, go see Elliot, yo.
That,
he fix it.
Yeah, but it's gonna cost you.
Yeah. Okay, so how do I tell the difference? How do I know what my gun shoots and what ammo I need to, like, how do I tie them together?
Read your manual.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bingo.
Manual,
that's,
folks.
So I
read that manual.
That's good. Have a conversation with the FFL, the FFL dealer. You know what I'm saying? Like, have them show you, you know, a specific, you know what I'm saying, the specific types of firearms you're looking for. I want a 9mm. Show me a 9mm. Help me understand what it is that I'm about to purchase. Another way is most manufacturers, aside with, like Kia just said, the manual, they will have the caliber stamped on the barrel or the firearm somewhere. So that's another way of telling. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it's normally on the
very,
briefcase,
very
on the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are great points, y'all. And I know I'm asking like if I'm a new student because these are questions I get all the time. And here's the crazy part. I don't just get these questions from new students. I get these questions from people that have it concealed. And we're just talking.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, you know, I put my 40 in my 9 and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what? It'll fit.
Well, here's one for you, Dwayne.
Huh? Say that again.
Here's one for you, Dwayne. Here's one. That, you know, with the ammo shortages and things they had going on, people were just grabbing plus P plus ammunition.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, gosh.
So,
yeah.
Again, you line in Elliot's pocket because you put that plus P plus ammunition in your gun and it's not designed for plus P plus, you're going to see some shebang bang.
That's all I hear is cha-ching.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you brought that up because that's something that I don't mention enough in my classes. Because I always tell them read the manual, and I say I literally just say it a little bit, but I never go into deep detail about plus B plus. Because I almost went in. I remember one time when you know ammo started, the shortage was real, y'all. And you grab any box that you can get. I ran in and I grabbed some 9. And when I'm on my paper and everything, and I'm walking, I'm like, why was that a little bit more than what I'm used to paying? Then I looked at the box, and it said plus P plus. And I was like, damn. So luckily I have a good relationship with the gun store. They allow me to, you know, swap it out, actually, for a whole different caliber, for a whole different gun. But, folks, definitely that is the truth. Read your manual.
Hey, y'all break down that plus P plus for everybody. Because, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm sure somebody's listening, like, what are they talking about?
We can put Hello? You on the spot, Kia. Yeah.
I was sitting on mute and I'm talking and I look down and I said, oh shoot, I don't hear that. So basically, to make a long story short, it's just basically a lot more pressure. It's a lot more bang bang. So I mean, I don't know how much further you want me to break it down because I don't think it really matters. Just know that if that, it's like more bang for your buck. You're gonna get a lot more. So if you have So if your gun cannot handle that amount, that increased pressure, then that cartridge is going to give, then, you know, it's going to pretty much just tear your gun all to pieces because it's going to be too much. I think someone told me one time it will melt your barrel. It could possibly melt it or warp it. So.
Yeah, you fire. I mean, but that's with any firearm. What the biggest concern is with that is the pressure
of it, you know, when it, you know, it ignites inside the barrel, not just melt the barrel, but expanding the barrel. You know what I'm saying? So that's a huge thing.
You see that?
And
Elliot is saying, go ahead, do it, y'all. Go ahead. Go buy that Plus B Plus after we just told you not to buy that Plus B Plus. And come
right.
See me.
Yeah.
What did you just say? You said your line in his pocket.
You're gonna hate life.
Ching. There you go, E. There you go.
You don't hate life, but it is what it is. I got to make a list.
Yeah,
no. So y'all go right ahead. Go right ahead.
I know. I'm glad you brought that up, Tia, because I didn't even think to bring that up. I'm really glad you brought it up, the Plus P Plus. Folks, if your guns do not, if it's not marked Plus P Plus, do not buy the ammo. Unless you just want to buy any kind of ammo just in case you buy a Plus P Plus gun at some point. Would it fit in your magazine? Yes. Would it fire? Absolutely. But it all comes down to what happens next. you're not going to like it. Your hand is probably going to hurt. Hopefully you're not too much of a new shooter where you shoot the gun right up on your face because you're gonna have a really bad headache. And then you're going to be giving Elliot at 610 Tactical a call saying, hey, I need my gun fixed. And he's going to be more than happy to give you the best customer service and help you out. Definitely more than happy
without
to
question.
Help you out.
And I got kids to feed. I don't do discount prices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Because I was almost a victim of that if I didn't pay attention. And sometimes it's just as simple as you're just moving too fast. You know, when it comes down to firearms, pay attention, man. Don't move too fast. I bought some. I just got into the whole AK game. You know, I know we got the professional over there, Kia. That goes to the range.
Absolutely, what not?
I was about to say, how is that? How is it? How is it?
Let me tell you, it's very loud.
Yeah.
Oh, ain't no question.
And it gets
no
very hot.
Okay. So it's very loud.
But, hey, but that's that 7.62x39. I mean, or 7.62
yes.
Period. You're not playing.
Yeah.
Yo,
but
that's
hey,
not,
check this out, right?
That's not.
So talking about moving too fast, right? And if I tell all my students, and I'm telling you listeners too, when it comes down to firearms, you have to pay attention. You know, we can't be moving so fast that we're not focused on what we're buying, right, or what we're doing when it comes down to firearms. We have to be responsible gun owners all the way through. So I went into the
yeah.
gun store, and I just saw, like, $6.99, and all I saw was 7.62. And, man, and I saw, like, a three-box – no, I think it was a four-box limit. You best believe I picked that up real quick, grabbed them, and I'm good to go. I get home, and I have an ammo can that I open up all my ammo, and I put them in there, right? So I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Got me some new ammo. And I went to dump it in the box. And something just said, no, Dwayne, before you dump your ammo in the box, you have to double check to make sure you're putting the right ammo in the can. I mean, so I'm glad I did that because they all look alike. A lot of these rounds, at first glance, they all look the same. Unless you have that eye,
yeah.
you can be like, oh, 30 dot this, or that, right? Man, it was
yeah.
a 7.62 by not 39. I don't even remember what it was. It was like 7.62 by like a whole
probably,
other number. And
yeah, by 51
skinnier
probably.
At the tip. It was that. There it is. 7.62
yeah.
by 51. And, man, when I tell you I was so mad and happy at the same time, so now I got some rounds that I'm going to need. No, I think we raffled it off at another show. But, man, I was – yeah, that could have been all bad because it would have blended right in. And I would have loaded it into a magazine, and who knows what would have happened when I went to shoot it, you know? So definitely another best practice, and y'all echoing this if you and tell me what y'all think. Before I load any of my magazines, even though I
yeah,
know they're
ammo
pulling
inspection.
From an ammo can of 9, yep, there you go. You said
yeah.
it, ammo inspection. Quick,
that's
9 millimeter,
yeah.
cool. Gotcha.
That's about safety, like 100%. I mean... You know what I'm saying? I knew a guy, well, I shouldn't say I knew him, but I saw a video of a guy You know what I'm saying, loading up the, you know, 50 caliber, and I think he, I don't remember what caliber he had in the 50 caliber Barrett, but it was not the right one, and it exploded the gun. And his face, because his cheek was, you know, resting on the gun, he was all jacked up. He looked like Mike Tyson had put a beating on him. You know what I'm saying? So those are the things that we have to be. You don't just, you know what I mean? Another thing, too, that people need to pay attention to is how long they've had their ammunition. Because older ammunition is temperamental. You know what I'm saying? So
there goes that word
when
again.
You decide to,
word of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. When you decide to go to the gun range, shoot your older ammunition first before you shoot the new.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good one. That's a really good one. That's a really, really good one. Really good one.
Even though it's been stored properly, even though it's been stored properly, should be fine. This guy came into the range about maybe 2 weeks ago. He was like, yes, I had this ammo for about 4 years, and I want to dispose of it. I want to give it to you because I don't want to, you know, mess something up. And we all look at each other, right? And the guy's like, yeah, so give me all you got. And the guy had like 5 boxes. I was like, give that man back his ammunition. Because it's like, go do that, you know. But, you know, as long as it's been stored properly, it should be fine. But like Elliot said, just at least be cautious, but. You should be fine if it's been stored properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, and just to kind of piggyback off what Kia is saying, proper storage means that you've eliminated, the climate. That's really proper storage. It's quite hard for any fire, any projectiles or casings not to corrode or tarnish, you know, at all. Keeping the climate controlled, then you definitely have the opportunity to store your ammunition a lot longer than the regular Joe Schmo who just has it in cases sitting in the corner of the house. You see what I'm saying? So that's something to think about.
Yeah.
So question, do you good practice, bad practice, or it doesn't really matter, cheapen your ammo in your magazine? You have 10 magazines in your house. Do you leave your ammo in your magazine, or do you empty them and only load them when you're going to the range? What do you all recommend?
Well, one thing I tell my students
I like loaded
is
magazines.
Go ahead. You did what, Elliot?
Oh, no, you good.
No, go ahead. What'd you say?
Can you hear me? I was saying that I like to have loaded magazines because, you know what I'm saying, I never know when I may need it. You feel me? However, I do a monthly recycle, if that makes sense. I take them out. I may let them sit for, you know, the magazine sit for a couple hours, grab some new ammunition, and then kind of, you see what I'm saying? Kind of load them up again. But, or I may have some empty magazines and I'll take the ones out of the ones I had loaded and put those in the empty ones and let the other magazines I just had loaded kind of, I guess, almost, if you will, let that spring rest for a little bit. So that's just, you know, that's just me.
And the
one thing I tell my students is for your everyday carry. So, you know, we don't, it's hopefully you don't have to shoot anyone, right? You don't have to use it. So if you don't use it, go ahead and go like 6 months to a year, just at least every 12 months. Go and fire those rounds, because you think about it, it's, you're sweating, you know, it's going, you got lint, you know, from your clothes, stuff like that. So go ahead at least once a year and go ahead and fire off those rounds and reload. 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
I think those are both great best practices. I definitely agree with those. I pretty much tell my students the exact same thing. I tell my students, if you have to be worried about the spring in your magazine for your AR wearing out, you need to just get a whole new magazine. They're not designed that cheaply unless you just get some stuff from the dollar store. But I also do echo what Elliot said. Swap them out. Every once in a while, pop them rounds out and swap them out. You know, it's going to get the spring moving up and down. You know, you also want to do that with your handguns as well. But for my students, that, you know, for those EDCs, your concealed firearm, that's your baby, y'all. That's your lifeline. Make sure that that gun, make sure that ammo is right. Make sure the magazine works. Make sure that that gun is ready to go every single time you have it on you. And that means, you know, making sure it's clean. I don't clean my range guns after every use. You should clean your guns after every use. But me personally, I don't clean my range guns directly after every single use. You know, I kind of clean them all together like once a month or something like that. But my everyday carry, I clean that bad boy at least once a week. Some maybe something to say, well, that's excessive. No, I need to make sure that, like he said, no lint got into any places we shouldn't get into. I'll swap out, you know, I'll kick out my rounds from the magazine, and I'll, you know, make sure I'll inspect those rounds to make sure that none of them look, you know, like they may not fire. You know, I'll do a little shake test. You know, I have my own process. Then I load them right back, and after I load the first like three or four, I'll press that in a spring to make sure that the spring is no, like, scratching or anything like that on the spring, you know, making sure that spring easily feeds, you know what I mean? Make sure that it's going to feed that next round every single time, because that's my everyday carry. So I love the dialogue, y'all. I think it's awesome, the tips that y'all are giving to the new listeners. And not new listeners, but, you know, new shooters. And those experienced shooters out there as well. You guys, listen, some of these experienced shooters get on my nerves. I love y'all, a little student. Sometimes y'all have to have an open mind about learning new things. You know, you are not a professional shooter, sir or ma'am, okay? You're just a shooter, and you can still learn new things. I know, I hear it, E, and I know, Kia, you definitely ran through a couple, ran into a couple of those folks. What do y'all do with those experienced shooters that are just giving you a hard time in class? Because guess what? They know everything. You know, I know you shared that story with us earlier, E. Kia, what about the other instructors? Those are those experienced shooters that could be toxic to the community. What have you dealt with, Kia?
I just you know, the people that know it. I had a guy tell me what was I telling him about? I told him about, I can't remember what it was now, but basically, I think during concealed, no. It's been so many, y'all, but a lot of times I just, when they start talking about, oh, no, it's not. Or good. I said, hold on. Wait a minute. We're going to get to that part. You know, I'm not a rabbit hole person. Now, I don't do rabbit holes. I don't do scenarios where people can trap you up and have you saying stuff, and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't say that, you know. But I will, if they start asking questions and they try to, like, say, well, that's not true or whatever, I always have it right there in writing. And especially when it comes to laws and things like that. And so, and when they do that, I highlight it because I know someone else is going to do the same thing. So, you know, I always tell them, hold on, wait a minute, it's coming. I'm going to show you. I know one thing I had recently was someone told me that you can't shoot someone in through your door. They have to come in North Carolina. I said, okay, hold on one second. I'm not going to take up class time right now to go back and forth with you. So when we get to it, when we got to it, I read it, I looked at him, he didn't say a word.
Yeah, 100%.
So I'm like, hey, I'm going to let stuff speak for itself. I don't have to prove I'm right or anything like that. I'm just going to let stuff, you know, speak for itself, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
That's the best way.
I agree. I think that, you know, we're coming down on the last 5 minutes of the show. And, you know, sending, you know, our airwaves out to Sarge. You know, Sarge, we hope everything's all good with you, sir. It's been 3 weeks, and we haven't heard from you, Sarge. The audience.
And I left him a message. Sarge, if you hear this call, I left you a message, and I have not heard back from you.
Yeah,
we might have to send out a third part.
that's our guy. Sorry, we miss you. And we didn't hear nothing from not Dwayne's mom tonight. I'm not angry about that one right there. That's okay.
I am.
I'm really
not
really
Dwayne's not Dwayne's mom. Please call in next week.
Yeah. No, we're going to change our number just in time for next week. But folks, you know, we got some awesome things coming up for 610 Tactical. We got some awesome stuff coming up for Point Blank. We got some awesome stuff coming up for Zach Tactical. Folks, check us out on our social medias. And call in, folks. We want to hear from y'all. We do this show because we want to make sure we get y'all out the best information, the most honest, the unbiased, kind of biased information out there. So lock our number in your phone, 845-241-9979. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to this game next week. I hear game. I'm competitive. I'm winning. I don't know what it is. Can we compete? Is there a winner?
Well, we're gonna test it out before next week. So just know I'll be sending you guys a link. Like, hey, y'all, hop on here. You know how I do.
All right, perfect. I'm winning.
Wow.
I'm calling it now. Sorry, E. You're my guy. Kia, you're my girl. I'm winning. I'm calling it out. So,
all right.
I hear what you're saying.
You know what the game is.
Don't matter.
I hear
the word
I hear
game,
what you're saying.
And I'm just ready to go. You know, I'm just ready to go.
Hey, listen, we're going to make sure that when 610 Tactical, we're going to make sure when 610 Tactical come out there to Zach Tactical range that it's on video when 610 Tactical sweeps through with that championship trophy. I'm just letting you know.
Okay. You know what, folks? Listen, y'all. Go check out my latest YouTube video. It's called Introducing Tristan, right? It's on Zach Tactical YouTube. And he is a phenom. That's a new shooter, y'all. That's a new shooter. That young gentleman right there is a new shooter. Happy belated birthday to you, Tristan. He came out that he celebrated his 17th birthday with us. Happy belated birthday,
oh, awesome,
sir. And he did his thing. And, you know, that's my pick right there. That's it. What y'all got? He's representing Team Zach Tactical all day, every day. You know
what?
So when
you
ready 610, you come on out. When you ready Point Blank, you come on out. You know, I was about to call out Inner Peace, but being that I'm a member
you know
of Inner
me,
Peace,
no, but, you know, new
call him out.
New shooter. See?
Say that again, E. Oh, see? Look at that.
It's
look at he's talking trash and lost service. Here you go. He's talking trash. And you know what, Kia, one thing about you. You be too quiet.
What?
Because, see, that's that deadly stuff right there. She's like, I don't need to say nothing. I'm just going to come out, shoot your eyes out, and I'm going to leave with the trophy. Okay. I don't like that. I don't know how much I like that.
I'm not a bragger.
Oh, now she's saying it's bragging.
It's all good. Listen. You know what I'm saying? Some people see it as confidence. Other people see it, as, you know what I'm saying? It's arrogant, you know what I mean? So it's all
gotcha.
Good. Yeah, you feel me?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to having y'all out there for real. I can't wait for us to put that together. We're definitely going to have the cameras out there. Recall, that's going to be an awesome, awesome show, 610 Point Blank and Zach Tactical on the range together, moving and shooting and moving. Posting high scores and seeing who's the best shooter. I think we're going to have a really good time. I'm really looking forward to that, y'all. I can't wait for y'all to come out this way. Anything y'all want to leave the listeners with this last 2 minutes? Or the last
good night.
You know,
good night.
I'm on my way to work right now. I'm walking in the door.
All right, well, E, man, you know, man, love you both. Love y'all listeners out there. We can't wait for next week, this game. Whatever game it is, y'all, go practice. Go look up stuff in the dictionary. I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, practice whatever y'all need to practice because I'm winning next week. Okay?
It's going to be fun. It's going to be lit. Like my daughter says, it's going to be litty.
If
she was in here now, she'd be looking at me like, please don't say that ever again.
I got to get used to saying this. Like, share, subscribe, comment, turn on notification bell. Did I hit it all? I think that's it.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah, you did.
You hit that.
All right, y'all. Enjoy your night.
Y'all have a good night.
Good night.
Bye, everybody.
All right, same to you.
Bye-bye.